Let us pray. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them, to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Joshua 9:15. Dear Heavenly Father, as word of my life's victories begin to spread, help me to have divine discernment so that I can identify those who have alternative motives and deceitful hearts. Even if some relationships make it through, I thank you, Lord, that you will still protect me and work everything on my behalf. Like the enemy army in Joshua 9:10, I thank you that you are working on my behalf until I have utter victory. When I feel tired and unsure, give me strength, Holy Spirit, to stand my ground until every enemy is removed from my life. When it seems like more is against me than are for me, I will look to you and to your mighty hand to provide a divine strategy for advancement and momentum. Any and all enemies to my success, like fear, doubt, anxiety, mediocrity, and lack, will be eradicated through the power of your might, like the five kings found in Joshua. I'm leaving nothing to chance. I'm sealing the cave of limitations off permanently. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for making prayer a priority in your day. To learn more about the Bible, stay tuned for today's story, brought to you by BibleInAYear.com.
Joshua and the Treaty. In our last story, we learned about the idolatry of Achan causing Israel's first defeat. Achan took idols from the city of Jericho after God had given them victory. Achan's actions caused God to remove his victorious hand from over Israel, and they were beaten by the kingdom of Ai. Achan was found out and dealt with harshly. Afterwards, Joshua led the army of Israel to defeat Ai and restore hope to the people. In this story, we learn of a new kind of warfare. The people of Gibeon lie in order to be spared by Israel and trick them into a political and social treaty as inspired by the book of Joshua.
Hi, I'm Pastor Jack Graham with today's episode of The Bible in a Year. In yesterday's episode, we learned how the deceit of just one person in Israel's camp had consequences on the entire community, and how God rooted out the sin of Achan so his people would know that God's authority was not to be disregarded. God then granted Joshua and his men another victory, and as word spread throughout the countryside, people in the towns nearby trembled in fear of God and the people of Israel. Today, we'll hear how the Gibeonites would engage in treachery and deception to secure a treaty with Israel. They appeal to the mercy of Joshua to save themselves. Will Joshua fall for their trickery? Let's find out in today's reading.
Word of Israel's triumph over Jericho and Ai spread beyond the Jordan into the hill country. Israel was great in number and a terror to the people of Canaan. All along the coast of the Great Sea towards Lebanon, kings and kingdoms gathered together as one army to fight against Joshua and Israel. When Gibeon heard of Joshua and his God, they schemed as to how they could be spared by the great Israelite army. They gathered worn-out sacks, old clothes, and patched wineskins to display on their donkeys. They crumbled the leather on their sandals and dried out their provisions. They were the perfect picture of poverty. As actors in a play, they immersed themselves into character to deceive the compassionate people of Israel. They traveled to Gilgal, where Israel was camped, and came to Joshua. Limping and coughing, they approached him and said, "We have come from far away. Please allow us to be your servants so that we can be safe here with you." Joshua looked at the seemingly helpless people with a hint of suspicion. "Who are you, and where did you come from?" Joshua asked. Still in character, they lifted their heads and said, "From a distant country we have come because of the Lord your God. We heard of what he did for you in Egypt and against the Amorites, so we traveled far to come be your servants." Joshua and the men made peace with them and allowed them to dwell there. However, Joshua did not ask God for guidance or counsel, because he had assumed their intentions were pure. Joshua made a covenant promise with the Gibeonites and was bound by his word to protect them. 3 days had passed. Joshua had bound them by oath to not attack their land, and the people of Israel murmured and complained amongst themselves at Joshua's foolishness. The elders of Israel were embarrassed and angry, so they made the Gibeonites their woodcutters, since they were bound by their word to be servants. The 5 surrounding kings heard that the Gibeonites had joined Israel. This caused a panic among them, since the Gibeonites were a royal people filled with skilled warriors. If they had bowed to Israel, surely there would be little hope for any small nation to fight against them. Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent word to the kings of Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, and the 5 of them joined forces to war against the vast Israelite army. The horde of Canaanite nations gathered together towards Israel's camp. A few miles away, they prepared to slaughter God's people mercilessly. Joshua gathered the best of his men and went up from Gilgal. With a sword in his hand and fire in his heart, Joshua led his men all night to meet with the allied armies. Joshua and his mighty men stood at a distance from the allied camp. They were sound asleep, for Joshua had traveled all night in order to surprise them. They stood there, shoulders rolled back and their grips tight on their blades. The wind picked up slightly, and clouds began to roll in from the north. The rising sun was blocked by the darkness of the rain clouds. Thunder could be heard from the distance. Joshua and his men looked down at the enemy camp. They were many and outnumbered them. God spoke to Joshua quietly and with intensity, saying, "Do not fear them. I have already given you victory. All the men will fall before you." With that word, Joshua raised his sword and ran forward with his mighty men of valor in pursuit behind them. The thunders roared and the rain showered down like bullets. Their ambush was sudden, unexpected, and perfectly timed. God had gone before them and threw the enemy into a panic. Like one fatal swoop of a sharpened blade, Joshua and his men cut through the enemy camp effortlessly. The enemy retreated, and Israel pursued. The rain grew heavier, and the wind howled against them. They tried to climb the mountain of Beth Horon, but were thwarted when hail rained down from the skies. Large stones of ice fell from the sky and demolished whoever was left to flee from Israel. The sound of crumbling ice and cracking skulls mingled with the booming thunder. More men died by hail than swords. The battle raged on. Men fought in a swamp of mud, ice and blood. Iron pierced flesh. Ice and spears flew through the air. Victory was near, but not yet secured. The sun began to set, and if darkness came, victory would be delayed. In a moment of holy fury, Joshua lifted his eyes to heaven, spoke to God, saying, "Sun, stand still in the valley of Gibeon. Moon, hold your place a while longer. Stand still until vengeance is finished." And the sun delayed its descent along the valley until Israel claimed victory. The might of God, the sword of man, and the power of prayer brought Israel victory. God had fought for his people, and 5 armies crumbled as the walls of Jericho. The kings of the 5 kingdoms retreated into a cave nearby while their armies were slaughtered. For hours they hid in their cowardice. The king's eyes widened as they saw Joshua standing at the base of the cave. They gazed into the eyes of Joshua. Blood dripped from his sword and forehead. Dirt and the flesh of his enemies caked his clothes. His eyes were that of a hungry lion. They thought Joshua would kill them right then and there. Instead, they watched as the light from the cave grew dimmer, as Joshua commanded a stone to be laid to block the entrance. In darkness, they waited. The next day, Joshua brought them in front of the elders of Israel and struck them down. For an entire day, he hung them on trees and then tossed their bodies back into the cave of their own cowardice.
As word spread throughout Canaan of Israel's overwhelming strength in battles, the kings of the region began to plot as to how they could overtake this invading nation. They decided to join forces to come against God's people, all the nations but one. The people of Gibeon were not keen to fight this unbeatable army. But rather than approach in good faith and extend an offer of peace, they decided to try another tactic, deception. They disguised themselves as destitute travelers coming from far away. They were there to seek God's protection and favor, they said. The Gibeonites knew all the right words to say. They spoke of God's faithfulness from their escape of Israel up until the recent military victories. They played the part they needed Joshua to see and believe. And Joshua and the other leaders fell for it. They felt compassion for these men and made a covenant of peace with Gibeon, allowing them to live among them. And they did this all without seeking God's counsel. There's an important lesson on wisdom here. Are we to have hearts of compassion as God does? Absolutely. But does that mean that we should blindly enter into relationships without seeking wise counsel? Absolutely not. Should we throw caution to the wind because someone says the right words and looks the part? Absolutely not. If Joshua and his men had consulted God and sought God's wisdom, they would have known this was a ruse. But they did not seek God, and now they had a very bad covenant with Gibeon. When the people of Israel discovered that these people were actually Gibeonites, they were understandably upset with Joshua for his lapse in judgment. Because of this covenant, they would no longer be able to conquer the towns of Gibeon. So Joshua cursed the Gibeonites for their deception. They would be spared, but they would become servants, woodcutters, and fetchers of water for all of God's people. The treaty with the Gibeonites angered the other kings, and they joined forces to slaughter these men and God's people. But God was with Joshua and his army. And as they set off into a battle that would have seemed more like a suicide mission, God met them and promised Joshua that victory would be theirs. Once again, God intervened in miraculous ways, confusing the enemy armies, raining down hailstones that killed more than Joshua's army could kill. Joshua lifted his voice to the heavens and asked God to still the sun and the moon, to keep daylight going until all the enemies were defeated. Joshua was bold enough to ask anything of God. This was truly the first daylight savings time, and it would go down in history with God's people as one of the most important events recorded in Joshua 10:14. There has been no day like it before or since, when the Lord heeded the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. There is incredible power in prayer, and we see it here. Jesus told his disciples and us that nothing is impossible with God, that we can ask in his name and receive. Joshua caught just a glimpse of that truth and believed, and because of his faith in God, all five kingdoms were defeated that day. His faith and the people's fortitude would lead to a period of peace and success, and we'll hear more about that tomorrow. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your graciousness and kindness to us, that you are always willing to give what we ask when we ask in your name according to your will. May we trust in you always, as Joshua did. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's Bible in a Year podcast. I'm Pastor Jack Graham from Dallas, Texas. Download the Pray.com app and make prayer a priority in your life. If you enjoyed this podcast, share it with someone you know, someone you love, because by sharing this podcast, you can make a big difference in someone's life in Jesus' name. And if you want more resources on how to tap into God's life, God's power, God's strength for successful Christian living, be sure to visit jackgraham.org. God bless you.